our third study, going verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation, brings us to Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1, Genesis chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And as I said last time, everything that will be created or God wanted to create was created. The work of creation from start to finish was completed after six literal 24-hour days. So God's not creating anything anymore. And then it says in verse 2, because you might say, well, how do you know that? Well, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. It says God rested on the seventh day. And you might say, well, I don't blame him. He must have been very tired. Creating everything in 6 days must have worn him out. No, God was not tired. God never gets tired. He never needs to sleep. He never takes a nap. There is nothing about God that ever changes. There is nothing about God's being that ever changes. Which is one reason he never gets tired, because that's a change. You change when you get tired. You change maybe when you have a cup of coffee, you get energized. God is immutable. He changes not, the Bible says. And along with that, he has no needs. He is totally self-sufficient. He rested from his work because there wasn't anything left to do. And he was setting the pace for us as well. There is a time to work and there is a time to rest. And overdoing either one of them isn't biblical, and therefore it's not healthy. Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. God made the seventh day holy. He sanctified it, meaning he set it apart to be something different, something holy. And even today, even though we are not under the Sabbath law, the seventh day is a weekly reminder that God is the creator and that he finished all creating in 6 days. And one way we know that God made it all in 6 days is because he established the seventh day of each week to remember his finished work of creation. Verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. It says, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Let's just stop there for a second. God formed man out of the dirt. You know, that's all your human body is. It's dirt. Formed into a human body by the one true God. And when the life that God gives us leaves our body, it doesn't take long, and they turn back into dirt once again. And if we would only remember that the Bible says we are dust, and that any life we have is a gift of God's grace, That certainly would keep us from becoming puffed up with pride, wouldn't it? Again, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. When God breathed some of his life into man, man came alive. The electric generator that runs our body started to operate. The heart started pumping blood. The electrons started moving. The electrical impulses started firing off in Adam's brain. And most important, the breath of God made man a spiritual being. The breath of God gave man the ability to think and to reason and to commune with him. Verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And so God put man in a perfect environment. He had everything he needed, and really much more. Verse 9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And by the way, the original trees that God made back on day 3 were made with the appearance of age. And the trees here in verse 9 were the ones that grew up later, as acorns dropped from the oak trees. They grew up, and that's what this is referring to. Apples drop from apple trees, and the seeds cause new trees to be sprouted. And then it talks about the tree of life. Notice again, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, the tree of life had some special fruit. And in some way, somehow, it enhanced the life of those who would eat it. And since God wanted Adam and Eve to be as happy as they possibly could be, they could eat that special fruit from the tree of life anytime they wanted to. God wasn't holding anything back from Adam and Eve that would make their life completely fulfilled and completely happy. He wasn't withholding anything, and I want you to understand that. Because Satan is going to come along in a little while and tempt them, suggesting that God was holding back, but clearly he was not. And the last part of verse 9, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God wasn't holding anything back that man needed for life and happiness, but he did put man to the test. He had to, because man was made a moral being with a free will. Man was made with the ability to either serve God and have fellowship with his creator, or rebel against God and do things his own way. So, in order to be able to live as a free-willed moral being, he had to have the opportunity to either obey or disobey. And that is what this tree of the knowledge of good and evil is there for. 10. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goes toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. Four rivers, clear as crystal, flowing through the garden. Can you imagine that? Along with all the flowers and the fruit trees, must have made this place an unbelievable sight. What a fantastic place to live. God truly blessed Adam and Eve. Unfortunately, when people have it real good, sometimes they don't know how good they have it. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Adam had a good job with great working conditions, and nothing ever went wrong. How'd you like to have an occupation like that? Did you know that man was created to work? Man wasn't meant to be a freeloader or lazy. There's a feeling of satisfaction in a job well done. There's a feeling of satisfaction. It's a tiredness, but it's a good tired when you've worked hard. And that's because the need to work is built right into us. Work wasn't a result of sin. Frustration in our work is a result of sin, but not work itself. We're made to work. That's why you don't do anybody any favors when you give able-bodied people a handout if they refuse to work. 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Oh, what a wonderful variety of food God gave man to eat. And it was good food too. Had to be. It was all fresh and vine ripened. The tomatoes were juicy, full of flavor. The fruit and the vegetables all got nice and ripe, but nothing ever got overripe, never did. Nothing ever rotted because there was no death and no decay before sin. So you could leave fruit on the trees or vegetables on the vine or whatever in the ground, and they would never get rotten. They would continue to ripen until they got fully ripe, and then I suppose they would just remain in that state because there was no death, there was no decay, not before sin. 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Oh, God was very clear. You eat from this one particular tree and it's over. It's sin. And you will die. And no second chances, no overs, no excuses. It's just it. This is the prohibition. This is the test. And it was clear cut. And it was all or nothing. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him, or a helper suitable for him. Notice that the command not to eat the forbidden fruit was given to Adam. It was given to Adam before Eve was even created. So it would be Adam's job to teach Eve. Man is designed by God to be the spiritual leader in the home. The Bible talks about man is to be the leader because man was created first and then Eve. That's the way God intended it to be from the very beginning. Verse 19. Verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Now, a couple of things here. God gave man dominion over the earth, and he proves it right here by giving him the privilege of naming everything. The naming right belongs to the owner. But something else, you know, the next time someone tells you that the first man was half ape, he was a half ape eating raw meat and grunting, you will know that they were wrong, or they are wrong to tell you that. And you can tell them the truth. Tell them, no, he was 100% man, created in the image of God, a vegetarian who had a tremendous vocabulary. There are at least 35,000 different varieties of animals. So Adam named 35,000 plus animals, and that takes quite a vocabulary. We'll pick it up in verse 20 next time.